Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast, and it is good to be here. And tonight, we're going to be talking about Romans chapter 4, and we won't be diving into the whole chapter. We're only going to be covering verses 1 through 8 in chapter 4. Just because we're going to be talking about Abraham, and there's a lot about Abraham that we need to talk about. So we're going to be talking about the faith of Abraham. Also, going to be showing to you, just the faith, just showing you in the scriptures, the faith of Abraham, both in Hebrews as well as in Genesis, and So we're going to be talking a little bit about Abraham tonight, so bear with me. I might kind of go in and out. It's been kind of a long day and stuff, so just don't mind me, but we'll hopefully get through it and without having too much of me stuttering and going back and forth and being repetitive and all that stuff. It's just been a long day, so sort of just bear with me. We'll get through it. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I don't really have anything coming up, so we'll just, you know, same as usual, Fridays and Sundays, and Fridays and Sundays at 8 o'clock. Sunday, I don't know what I'm going to talk about yet. There is something about marriage I want to talk about, something that I saw in Revelation about marriage, and how it pertains. I think it'll hopefully be a blessing to you. Now you might ask yourself, well, Brandon, why are you going to talk about marriage? You're not even married. Well, yeah, it's a good point. I'm not married yet. I'm not married yet. Okay, hopefully that time will come soon. But there are some things about marriage that God has shown me in His Word that I can talk about. You know, I can only talk about marriage as, you know, on the lines of what the Word says, and that's pretty much about all I can talk about. So, you know, so we might do that on Sunday. Not sure yet, but that's kind of what I'd like to try to do if I can, because one of the things that the God has shown me in His Word, you'll just be amazed. Okay, you'll be amazed because it's something that you've probably never thought of before, and the verse that I'll be going to, you probably read quite a bit. Excuse me. You probably read quite a bit and just never thought of it in those terms before. So I want to be a blessing, and I want to be a blessing to everybody. So that's what I may talk about Sunday, before we get back into the three categories of sin series. Do got to finish that up, but been sort of just taking a break from that. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. All right. So pray for me on that. That's really about it. But for prayers and praises, if you have anything that you want to share, you can feel free to share that. Just in the comments. For me, a praise. This week's been a little bit better week for me. Tiring week, but better week. prayers, you know, please continue to keep me in prayer. I've got things on my mind that it's just, you know, a little bit's kind of a struggle. So pray for me on that. Pray for my videos. Pray for the ministry. You know, pray that God will take these videos and do with them as He wills. And as He pleases and as He sees fit. Amen. Hopefully they're a blessing to everybody. You know, hopefully that you guys get something out of it. If only one person gets something out of it, you know, it's all worth it. Amen. So other than that, don't have anything else. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4. And we'll go ahead and get started. And Romans chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Now let me tell you something, okay? Did Abraham have works, good works? He did. And as we'll see tonight, Abraham's works that he did was a reflection of his faith. Okay? So, Abraham had tremendous faith. And what verse 2 is talking about here is, if Abraham were justified by works and not by faith, okay, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God, okay? So he would glory, he could glory in those works, but before God he can't. And the reason is because the Bible says that your righteousness are as filthy rags to God, okay? So you don't have righteousness. It's only by faith, it's only by grace through faith. And the righteousness of Christ is imputed onto us. Now, if you don't know what imputation is the act in which is something credited to your account. Now, as per speaking in terms of Christ, okay, his righteousness is imputed into our account, not because of what we did or that the fact that we deserved it. It's that Christ did, he imputed that to us by grace. It's by grace that we receive into our account his righteousness. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something that we earn, but it's something that God gives to us by grace through faith. Amen. So Abraham has had some good work. Abraham did do good works. Okay, there are good works that he did. However, okay, it wasn't works that he can brag and boast. It was works that was exemplifying, his works exemplified his faith in God and what God told him. Okay, now in verse 3, it says, "For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Okay. Abraham believed God, and because Abraham believed, his belief was counted for righteousness. It wasn't anything that Abraham did. It was his faith in God and what God had told him. Okay? And because of his faith, God imputed or counted a count, he counted it unto him as righteousness. Okay? Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So we see that Abraham's faith was counted to him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed in God, and not just he believed in God, but he believed that God is the one who justifies the ungodly. You see, Abraham was a pagan. He was an idolater. He also lied. He was an idolater before he known God. So he was an ungodly man. Abraham was a sinner. But Abraham put his faith and trust in what God told him. And he put his faith and trust in God. And the fact that it is God who would justify him. And because of that faith, it was counted to him for righteousness. Okay? So, with that said, let's stop right there for a little bit. And we'll come back to Romans 4, okay? But let's stop right there. And let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Okay? Let's go to Hebrews. Actually, hang on. Is it Hebrews? I think it's Hebrews. Hebrews 11. I got to find it. Here we go. Hebrews 11. Now, what is faith? Okay. Now, keep in mind, Abraham had faith. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about faith, and we're going to get into Abraham here, okay? But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Okay? Now, if you go down into verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. Abraham had faith. Okay? God promised him a son. A son that would open the door to much kids and grandkids, that his seed would be as innumerable as the stars. And Abram, who then became Abraham, okay, God promised him that he would be a father to many nations. Amen. And God promised him a son that Sarah, his wife, would bear in her old age. Okay? And I'll tell you something. He was doubtful about it, because, you know, there are times that he lied about, you know, his wife being his sister. And but God made it work for the good. Even though that Abraham lied, he was very, there's parts of him that doubted. But we see that Abraham, other than the lying, and there were times that Abraham, his faith in God's promise was stronger than other times. Okay? But we see that Abraham had faith. Now, let's turn and let's go to verse 8. Okay? "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went." Okay? So God said, he told Abram to go. First of all, this is where his faith comes into play. Okay, this is kind of like the first occurrence of his faith. God told Abram to go to a land to which I will show you. Now keep in mind, Abraham, he didn't know where this place was. He had no GPS system. He didn't know where he was going to go. But God said, I want you to get up and I want you to go. And Abraham had faith, and he had such a faith that he obeyed what God said. Well, he took his family with him, and he probably shouldn't. He should have only taken his wife and left his father's house. So in some aspect, he was disobedient in that area, but for the most part, he was obedient. He was obedient because he went and left. Okay? Where he disobeyed was he should have left his family behind, and it would have been him and his wife. Okay? Now, but we see that Abraham obeyed. He went out not knowing whether he went. So he put his faith and trust in God that he was going to get to the place where God was going to show him. And I don't know about you, okay? But if God told you, I want you to leave your family, and I want you to go to a place where I'll show you, and you can't bring your family. You have to leave your family behind. You have to go, and I want you to go to a place where I'll show you. How many of you would have enough faith to get up and go and do what God tells you? Keep in mind, you don't know where the place is, and you don't know where to go. Would you do it? Would you have faith to do it? Abraham, you know, he had faith. Okay, now, in verse 9, it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Okay, in verse 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen. So we're seeing the faith that Abraham had. Amen. Abraham had tremendous faith. Now remember, his faith was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay? And remember what we just read. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? Now, I want us to go to... I want us to go to Genesis 22. I'm sorry about that long pause. I've got a whole lot on my mind right now, so I'm a little bit kind of slow. Genesis 22. Okay, this was part of Abraham's faith. Okay. Genesis 22, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You might say, well, see, there's a contradiction. God doesn't tempt anyone to do anything. He doesn't tempt himself. Well, before you all get excited and you say that there is a contradiction, okay, let me tell you that word tempt okay? That word tempt is talking about, it's really, in this context, God is testing Abraham's faith. Okay? So when it says, God did tempt Abraham, okay, that word tempt is talking about a test. God is testing Abraham's faith. Okay? To see whether or not he really fears him. Okay? So God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. He said, Behold, here am I, or here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Let's stop there. Let's stop right there for a second. So God is testing Abraham's faith. And he's saying, I want you to offer your only son up for a burnt offering. Now, I don't know about you, but I think a lot of us, in Abraham's position, I think a lot of us would probably we'd have doubts. We probably would come close to not even obeying. Okay? But we saw firsthand how Abraham was willing to get up and go to a land that God was going to show him. Okay? And he did. He got up and went. He took his family with. He shouldn't have, but he got up and went. Okay? Now we see Abraham's faith as being tested to seeing whether Abraham fears God or not. And the test is, God wants Abraham to offer his only son that he loves up for a burnt offering. I want you to take a look. Let's take a look in verse 3, and I want you to take a look at his response. And it says in verse 3, And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now look at that. God said, I want you to do this. Now, why is that significant? Because God promised Abraham that he would have a son and that he would be the father of many nations and that his seed would be as innumerable as the stars. And God said, I want you to take your only son and offer him up for a burnt offering. And we see that Abraham went. What does that tell you? That tells you that Abraham, he went not just because he was doing it out of obedience. Of course, that's a big part of it. But knowing what God had promised him, he probably considered the fact, well, if God wants me to do this, okay. He probably considered that he would raise his son Isaac from the dead. He considered that. He had so much faith that he was willing to obey God and yet consider the promise that God had for him. And because of his faith, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Amen. Let's continue to read on. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, it's interesting that Abraham says, come and worship. Okay, let me tell you something. Worship isn't just singing praises to God. Worship is simply obeying God what he tells you. And obeying him out of faith. When you do what God tells you to, you are worshiping him. You are. You are worshiping him when you do what God tells you to. So if God tells you, go over there, and you go over there, you are worshiping God by your actions. So worship isn't just singing praises, though that's part of it, but it's also your actions. Amen? It's your actions.
Oh boy,
I'm getting tired. Where was I? Okay, so, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the knife, he took the fire Okay, let me restart that again, because And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Okay, think about it. Abraham was considering the promise that God told him. And he had such faith that he was willing to do whatever God told him to. Check this out, okay? And Abraham lifted up his eyes. Oh no, that's not where I'm at. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So we see that Abraham had considered the promise that God gave to him about his son, okay, and about being the father of many nations. Okay, he considered that promise to where he went and he was going to do what the Lord told him to, and offer his son, his only son, up for a burnt offering. And right when he was about to slay him, an angel said, don't lay a hand on the lad. Don't lay a finger on the lad. Don't hurt them. You see, we see that when we go back and read, and starting in verse 1, where it says God did tempt Abraham, you start to see that word tempt is talking about a test. God had tested Abraham. He tested Abraham's faith, and he passed. He passed. Amen. Now, let's go back to Romans 4. Okay, and just to kind of put some perspective, let's go back up to verse 3. Okay, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, that justifieth the ungodly. Believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Amen. Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. Amen. Now, in verse 6 of Romans 4, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth, there's that word imputeth. Okay, to impute is to put one, is the act of putting something onto one's account, such as righteousness. It is by faith. It's by grace through faith that we are imputed Christ's righteousness in our lives. Okay? So God imputeth righteousness without works. Now you might say, well, Brandon, you just read that Abraham was tested. Isn't that works? Well, yes, but you got to remember, the test that Abraham received, the things that he did, exemplified his faith. It wasn't a work that it was exemplifying. The works was exemplifying his faith. So it was by his faith in God and the faith that Abraham had, and God's promise is why he was counted righteous. That righteousness was imputed to him. It wasn't of works. It was by faith. Let me tell you something, okay? Let me give you an illustration. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, okay, our sins went on Christ. Every single sin that we have committed, that we did commit, and will commit, went on Christ. But it doesn't stop there, though. But do you know what happened to Christ's righteousness? His righteousness came on you when you got born again. So when God looks at you, he calls you righteous, not because of who you are and what you did. It's because of what Christ did in your place at the cross. It is by faith and by God's grace that Christ's righteousness was imputed and given to us at Calvary. It wasn't anything that we did. Does that make sense? Okay. We love him because he first loved us. So at the cross, our sin went on Christ, and Christ's righteousness was imputed onto us. It wasn't anything that we did or didn't do. It wasn't because of, you know, wasn't anything special. It was because of God's grace. When God looks at you, if with you being born again, when God looks at you, he does not look at you. He looks at his son. Amen. Because the son's righteousness came on you. Amen. Now, there's an illustration. Another illustration I want to show you. Oops. And it's in the Old Testament. Okay. It's in the Old Testament. I gotta find it here. Okay, I want you guys to turn with me to Zechariah. So hold your place there again. Hold your place in Romans. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "And he shewed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Filthy garments, folks. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Think, oh, what did God say about your righteousness? He said, your righteousness are as filthy rags, folks. Listen, folks, are you getting this? This is exciting. Joshua was clothed in filthy garments, which represents his works. His righteousness. Joshua's filthy garments represent his righteousness. But it doesn't stop there. Okay? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." You guys, this is what happens when a sinner comes to know Christ, when they get born again. They're standing in filthy garments, their filthy righteousness. The change of garments is a picture of salvation, but the change of garments also represents the fact that by grace through faith, Christ's righteousness is imputed into your account, into your life. And what we are clothed in is clothed in Christ's righteousness. So when God looks at you, he doesn't look at your filthy garments anymore. He looks at Christ's righteousness on you. Does that make sense with you guys? Does that make sense? That's good stuff, man. That's, woo, man. That's good stuff. That's amazing. Praise the Lord. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Wow. That is amazing. Isn't that such a wonderful picture of salvation? That's cool. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go back to Romans. Praise the Lord. God is good, okay? Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. You want to know something? Let me ask you a question. What did Joshua do to get those change, to get a change of clothing when he stood before the Lord? Nothing. It was by God's grace. He was given a change of clothes and was out of those ratty old, disgusting, icky clothes. Amen. It was not. Joshua didn't do anything to get that. Okay? He didn't do anything to get that. It was by God's grace that he got those change of clothes. Amen. Woo! So without works. Okay, that's verse 6. Verse 7. Okay. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Can I ask you something, folks? Are your sins covered tonight? Are your sins covered? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you are in Christ and you pray and you repent of your sins, even as a born-again child, your sins are covered. Amen. You know why? Do you know why your sins are covered? Because Christ paid it in full, and he paid it all on the cross. And he did it because he loves you so much. Amen. He did it because he loves you. And the blood that he shed at Calvary and even before Calvary, that blood cleanses you from all sin. Let's go to 1 John. Hold your place here. Let's turn with me to 1 John. Okay. 1 John. First John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you see that, folks? Blessed is the man whose sins are washed and cleansed. Amen. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. God is faithful. God is faithful. And when you sin and fall short, and when you confess your sins to Christ, he is faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Amen. And verse 8. And we'll close. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. If you are a child of God today, God is not going to impute sin into your account. He won't do that. He will impute righteousness into your account. If you are a child of God, He will impute righteousness to your account. It's not because of what you did, and it's not because that you deserve it. It's not because of what you did. It's because of what Christ did at the cross, and check this out. Do you know why God will impute righteousness to you? Because as a believer, you've put your faith and trust in Christ and what He did for you at the cross. Can I tell you something today? You don't do good works to get saved. You do good works because you are saved. And you do good works because you realize that Christ loved you first. Amen. Christ loved you first. And He always loves you. He will always be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He will always be with you. Always. As a child of God, God imputes righteousness to you, not because of what you did or what you deserve. It's because of what Christ did for you at the cross. It is by grace, through faith, that you are imputed righteousness because you've put your faith and trust in Christ. Amen. And because you believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tonight is the night to get that settled. And you can know for sure, if you don't know you're going to heaven, you can know for sure tonight that if you were to die, if you can know for sure that you can go to heaven if you don't know that. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, and that God raised Him from the dead on the third day, you'll be saved. If you're not saved and want to get saved, all you have to do is just cry out to God. Cry out to God. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to save you. And He will. Ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and the door will be open. Amen. And God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. God loves you. He cares for you. And all those who are watching that are believers, I want to encourage you. If you know that you fell short and you have sinned, go back to Christ and repent of your sin. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Amen. And He'll forgive you. And He won't just forgive you, but He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. We have no righteousness. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. But when you became born again and when you trusted Christ, okay, you have a God clothes you with Christ's righteousness. Amen. That's good news. Anyways, I know this was probably a short video and I didn't want to go too long. I'm kind of getting a little tired and stuff like that. I want to just kind of take the night to relax. But anyways, I hope this was a blessing to you. I know this is kind of a short one. There's some things I wanted to touch on. Next Friday, remember, next Friday, well, we will not be doing Romans 5 because we're not done with Romans 4 yet. Okay, so next Friday, we will pick up starting in verse 9. And we'll probably finish it. We may not even finish it. I don't know. There's still more things about Abraham in here. Okay? There's still more on Abraham. So we might do maybe another part or two. So we'll see how it goes. Okay? But we will pick up on verse 9. Next week, okay? Next week. Sunday, if the Lord wills and will allow me to, I do want to get on to the topic of marriage. Something that the Lord showed me in His Word about marriage that is pretty astounding. I'd like to share it with you to be a blessing. And what it is I'll kind of give you a hint, okay? It has to deal with a name change. And that's all I'm going to say. It has to deal with a name change, okay? It has to deal with, and that's kind of a big one, so, I mean, you probably might get it, but I might be talking about a name change, like what a name change means in the Bible and why that's significant and how that actually plays in marriage. And I'll take you to the scripture. We'll go through the scriptures and I'll show you from scripture what the Holy Ghost showed me, okay? So that might be on Sunday. If not, we'll put that from a different day and it's just whatever the Lord leads me to do. So pray for me on that. Pray for these videos. Hopefully it's a blessing to you. I know it's a short one today and it's probably not the greatest, so I apologize. It's been a long day. But other than that, I think that's going to be it. I love you guys. This is Brother Brandon. I'm signing off for the evening. God bless you guys. I love you. And we'll see you Sunday. God bless you guys. See ya. Love you.